Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Former poet laureate Donald Hall writes, "New poems no longer come to me. Prose endures." This fortitude of language is our good fortune for the new book, Essays After 80, offers the viewpoint of an extraordinary American writer looking back on a full life in an ever-changing world. Again, the name of the book is Essays After 80, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Donald Hall to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's fun.
Very nice to have you with us. At what point did you realize that poems no longer came to you?
Well, this happened gradually. I think most people write their best stuff not when they're really young, like kids, and not when they're really old. I have a friend who tells me no one should be allowed to publish a poem written after 80. But for me, it was the 50s and 60s in particular. And I wrote some good stuff, I think, in my 70s. But gradually, I worked and I finished things, and none of them was good enough, really. I published some of them, and magazines were willing to do them. But I realized it was going slowly. It wasn't an abrupt thing. And finally, it got so hard, and the results were not so good as they used to be. And I just said, okay, that's over. And I had been writing poems, for 60 years or so. So I didn't feel too bad, especially because I was enjoying writing prose. I turned myself over to these essays, and I found myself really writing with more humor, even though I was writing out of being in his age, more humor came to me, and I really had a great deal of fun working on them. And I'm still writing further prose with pleasure.
That idea of writing, though, and having the language come to you, that you would think, given your long association with poetry, that in some way it would still come. And I guess I'm interested in if that they no longer come to you, or you feel that what does come to you isn't up to your standards.
Well, poetry literally doesn't come to me. The prose is very different. When I was still trying to write poetry, I found myself losing the sense of sound in poetry. That was my entryway into poetry, was the sound of it. And I think I lost it gradually because of old age, because of a lesser charge, erotic feeling. But I still had great joy in the rhythms of prose. And in, I would have a word which I would probably change over and over again, getting more specific and also maybe more ironic. And I could still enjoy the rhythm of the paragraph and sentence structure, trying often to find something that nobody had ever said before or thought of. And some of these took me forever, but I love to revise. I never write. I only revise prose or poetry. Some of these essays, believe it or not, I worked over 80 drafts and so on. But I did enjoy it and find it, although I'm trying to use the right word and so on, I am not writing an exquisitely fondled poem. I'm writing a paragraph. It says something, it really, for me, it's quite different from prose and from poetry, but it's perhaps just as satisfying, oddly enough.
Mm. You served as Poet Laureate of the United States from 2006 to 2007. There is an office for that position. You only went once. How did you feel about that and the job of a poet laureate?
Well, I was disappointed, but in me, not in the office, really. I had all sorts of ideas for how I would try to use the position to promote poetry. And at the very beginning, I got interviewed a great deal. I was on radio again and again. I read my poems. But then it seemed that I lacked the energy. I didn't have as much energy back then as I do now. Nobody, I don't know why. But I was unable to, the notions I had were very ambitious. And with one, there was a man who used to work a lot for NPR, Bob Edwards, who had a radio station on, it was, what do you call it, for the station, something you get through a machine on a car.
Bob Edwards went to satellite radio.
Satellite radio, that's right.
Yes.
And we seemed to agree that we would do a weekly show together. But then satellite radio business blew up at that point. And I think one of the main systems was folded into another. And I think Bob Edwards lost his show. And I wrote him and I didn't hear back. That was one thing which would have been, it would have been very time consuming and I would love it. And the idea would have been to pick other people's poems and talk about them. And once a week in a program. But there were other ambitious notions I had, and for one reason or another, they didn't work out. I did what a laureate does every year, pick certain people for prizes, certain people to do poetry readings at the Library of Congress. You choose things. I did everything that was part of the office, but I really didn't do anything else. And that disappointed me because I had ambitions at the beginning.
You have an essay in this book. There are so many that are wonderful. And you write about death, and you take umbrage to the term pass away.
Yes, absolutely. I every day, not every day, but somebody writes me and says that somebody passed away. And I say, I write back and say, no, he died. She died. it's a denial of death, saying pass away. And people say pass. And people, there are all sorts of, I have a list of them in the essay you're talking about, euphemisms for death. And I am,
Well, you have they rest in peace, they quit this world, they go the way of all flesh, they depart, they give up the ghost, they breathe the last breath, join their dear ones in heaven, meet their maker.
Yep. A pass away is by far the most common, or just passed, so-and-so passed. You see it in print all the time. Our local newspaper has never used the word die or death, I don't believe. Most of my friends writing. Oh, I had a letter last week from somebody who was a poet and was talking about directness of speech and not being mushy mouth and so on. But right at the beginning, he talked about a mutual friend and he said he passed. And I wrote back and said, if you want direct and honest speech, say die.
You write in that essay, at my age, I feel complacent about death, if sometimes somber, but we all agree that dying sucks.
Yeah, yep. That was a piece I wrote for Playboy, by the way. And that amused me. I had done a piece for Playboy about smoking cigarettes. And I wrote the editor and said, what about an essay about death? I thought it was perfect for Playboy. And he said, bring it on. And I did.
Who do you want?
I called it death, as I do in the book, and they said, playing the farm or something like that for a title. Anyway, I had fun writing on that subject for that magazine.
Who do you like writing for now? Does it matter if you find the right audience for the right piece?
Well, I Probably I like writing for The New Yorker better than for anybody else. You get a good audience with it. There is a New Yorker online where I've done several of these essays. And to be on The New Yorker online, you have to have an email, and a particular email. And I get lots and lots of people reading it online, apparently. And the quality of the audience, or the kind of letters I get from The New Yorker, tend to be better than the audience for other magazines, and more of them. The New Yorker pays fairly well. It does not pay as much as it did in the 1960s, relatively speaking, because all magazines were assaulted by the Internet, and all of them are doing less well. Probably all of them will eventually vanish, or vanish into the air of the computer.
Does prose pay better than poetry?
No. Well, yes. I'm sorry, I say no. And literally, but what are you comparing? The number of words or the displacement on the page? If I write a 12-line poem and I write a 4,000-word essay, I would get more for the essay. But oh, let me tell you one thing which amuses me. Way back in the 60s, I sold two pieces to The New Yorker almost at the same time. And one was the best poem which I had written to date at that time. And I believe I got $45 for it. And the other was a New Yorker profile of the sculptor Henry Moore. And for that, I got $40,000. So in that case, prose got a bit more than poetry. I shouldn't have said no. But the market, I've lived long enough to remember a time when, Esquire and the Atlantic and Harper's paid a great deal. And it's just diminished so much because of technology that it hardly matters anymore. I went to freelance writing as a living in 1975, and I made some money from poetry or poetry readings. I made some from children's books. So. But I made a lot from publishing in magazines, and I couldn't do it now. I don't know if I could make a living freelance writing now.
And when you put a book like this together and it's of thoughts and you've collected these, is it fun, especially when so often associated with poetry, to show this muscle that you're able to flex?
Oh, it's great fun. I enjoy it no end. You are interviewing me, and I love to talk about what I'm doing. I'm talking about flexing muscles rather than flexing my muscles. But it does feel good. My mail is good. My telephone calls. I'm reaching people and getting responses. And this is a great pleasure of mine. And of course, I had that with poetry too. I probably have it. Well, I definitely have it more for this prose book now than I typically would have with a book of poems. You got some attention that way too.
Donald Hall served as Poet Laureate of the United States from 2006 to 2007. His new book is Essays After 80, which is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And Donald Hall, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me. I love talking to you.
Good. A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Donald Hall's new book is Essays After 80. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.